Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Susan Detmer, an associate professor in the Department of Veterinary Pathology with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Detmer.
Thank you for having me today.
We are once again just past the first seasonal peak of influenza. What types of patterns have emerged so far this year? How has that compared with expectations, and what have been the factors?
So this year, we're very close to a similar pattern of humans. There's usually two peaks. One is in the fall around November, December, and usually after the holidays, after people get together, that peaks, and we start to see some carryover into pigs around the same time. So the flu activity in humans is starting to decline after that first peak, and the same is happening with pigs. We saw a lot of virus last year, and there was some carryover of that. The human seasonal strains of pandemic started in September of 2018 and really didn't let up in the pig populations in Canada until May of 2019. And nearly half of all of those viruses were this pandemic H1N1-like virus. From June through October this last summer and early fall, I only had four pandemic H1N1 viruses in my lab, but I started seeing more of what we call Alpha 3 and the H3N2 viruses that were present prior to when humans introduced the pandemic into our pigs last winter. And those were returning in this big space that was created by the pandemic strains as they waned in the pig population. Then our flu activity did pick up again in October this year. Late September, early October, we started seeing a lot of H3N2 viruses. And these were H3N2 viruses that had been present on these farms prior to last winter. So these were viruses that were making a comeback. And H3N2 did end up dominating the fourth quarter of 2019 with some of these pandemic strains that were lingering from the human to pig spillover last winter. Last winter, pandemic dominated in the human population, and there was a lot of spillover into pigs. And those strains were reappearing later in November and December. So that has been actually a concern for us.
What types of numbers of cases have we seen, both in terms of humans and swine? How would that compare with a typical season, and what have been the factors there?
So if you can look up online the human activity and the peak number of influenza-like reporting and the number of strains that they're seeing is actually around the normal amount for this fall. So it was not an increase above the normal amount that is reported through the healthcare system. As far as pigs go, I'm still seeing the same number. I'm not seeing any more overall submissions for me to test, and then the same with isolations. For me to get 24 viruses in 3 months is normal for a fall, and that's what I had this fall as well. I actually had 26 instead of 24, so that's not a discernible increase. The major concerns is the type of viruses, because some of them are more likely to cross between pigs and people, and one of those is the pandemic H1N1 strain.
What are we seeing in terms of the pathogenicity of the strains that we have been seeing, and how would that compare with normal?
So the regular influenza viruses that we have seen before, these alpha 3s and the H3N2s, those are not appearing to be any more virulent or pathogenic than we've seen before. They have a regular cycle and we're not seeing a lot of genetic changes that are increasing virulence or pathogenicity. The changes in the pandemic strain last winter, which helped it dominate in the human population, were actually changes that we saw appear in the strains that we were finding in pigs this year. And those strains, when I culture the viruses, I'm getting a higher rate of isolation. So usually I'll try to isolate from 3 to 4 samples from one farm, and I might get one of those to grow. And with these pandemic strains, I'm getting 100% isolation rates out of the 3 to 4 samples that I'm doing. So they're growing more readily on cells. They're also growing faster. These strains are growing within 72 hours. And a lot of the regular flu viruses that we see in pigs, they usually take 4 to 5 days to grow in culture. So that is a difference. We are actually doing kinetics on these cells, cell lines, so that we can see the growth pattern, the amount of virus it grows. And so we can actually look at some of the characteristics that these changes, these genetic changes in the virus, we can attribute to the changes that we're seeing in the field. We're also looking at the antibodies that are being produced. So we're looking at the only vaccine that is a commercial vaccine out there, and that is based on the original H1N1 pandemic strain from 2009. And that strain, we have both the virus and the vaccine antibodies in my laboratory, and we're able to take our newer strains with the key genetic changes that we're looking at that were also pointed out in the human side of things when they updated the human vaccines. We're looking at those specific changes as well to see if that's affecting how well the commercial vaccine could work out in the field. And what we actually saw this summer with my summer research student at the Western College of Vet Med, we found that the current strains, we get the antibody titer is half as much to that strain. So the homologous reaction, where you use the same vaccine and virus in the vaccine as you use in the hemagglutination assay, we actually found a very strong titer to the homologous reaction. And as we increase the changes in the virus, we see a steady decline in the antibody cross-reactivity. And what is happening, it's still above the level that we like to see, which is 120. It's at, the average was 160. So it's above what we'd like to see for a good protection level. And so it still should be somewhat effective, but we're seeing a drop. And as the genetic changes increase in these viruses in the field compared to the vaccine, we want to make sure that what we have been putting in pigs is still effective. This is to protect them as well as the people that they're in contact with.
What flags does this faster growth in culture actually raise, and what are the implications of that?
Well, the translation to from culture to people or even animals is limited, but when a strain is more readily grown, usually we're able to see that the virus, when we put it into animals, those viruses tend to grow more easily in the animals as well. The cultures are done on epithelial cells, and these are done at body temperature. And so that would be more of the lung comparison, whereas your nasal passage is actually 2 degrees Celsius cooler than your lungs would be. So that that's why we're also using X plants to look at these viruses as well, to show replication within the cells in pig tissue explants to see that if there's a difference between the different strains, to show that the virus can get into those cells just as easily at the correct temperatures.
What are the expectations moving forward?
Well, we like to see that humans are vaccinated. They did update the human vaccine to have strains that are very similar to these strains that I was talking about, the pandemic strains that are growing faster in culture, that are growing more readily in culture, and we're seeing on more farms this last winter as and they match the human. They're almost 100% identical to human strains that were circulating in the general population last winter. So those strains we're very concerned about. The top two concerns we have as veterinarians is protection of pigs from the illness and the secondary effects of pneumonia that they can have, and human protection, because there's workers that work with these pigs that are sick. So one concern is for the pigs that are exposed to the human strains that have evolved over a decade from the original strain, which is in the commercial vaccine for pigs. And that is the one that we've been doing comparisons of, so that we know if the newer strains are going to match. While the vaccine titers is good, we are seeing in the field with pigs that there is less efficacy and more influenza-like illness when they're using those vaccines. So when I get a sequence, I look at how close of a match it is. And a lot of these farms are having to create autogenous vaccines to match the more current strains to get more efficacy. The other concern that we have is for the people on the farm that are exposed to these viruses and from the pig. So usually a person brings a virus on the farm for most of these situations. Then the pigs amplify it, and then it goes back into the people. And when you have a virus going back and forth between pigs and people, there's an increased chance of reassortment or genetic movement of the genes within the virus. So you can mix human and pig viruses, and this has happened in the past. So when either a pig or a person is infected with two strains, you can create a brand new virus. So we want to limit that. And so for that reason, we are using vaccines on some of these farms to help control it, but we're also encouraging the workers to be vaccinated so that the amount of exposure that they have, they can be protected so that they're not reinfecting each other or bringing any viruses back home.
And is there anything you would like to add?
There is still vaccine available. So if you have not been vaccinated this year yet, you can still get vaccinated. Usually most people can get it at a pharmacy. You don't necessarily have to get it at your doctor's office.
Our guest has been Dr. Susan Dentmer, an associate professor in the Department of Veterinary Pathology with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.